Hello, I'm Kara Lamar. Welcome to the STLE Compass, brought to you by the Society of Tribologists and Lubrication Engineers. The STLE Compass is your convenient and reliable resource for the latest industry developments. This is another episode of the STLE Compass, and today we will continue our examination of the biotribology field, but this time we will address the tribology issues related to the heart. There are many different tribological aspects to consider in applications such as artificial hearts, valves, and blood pumps. Not only are there tribological issues in designing these components, there are other elements that must be tested and researched, including biosensors for physiological issues such as flow and pressure, biocompatibility, coating durability, blood rheology, potential damage to the blood, and infections. In addition to all the research, design, and development, the artificial component must be tested and function properly in vivo. Our interviewee today has had extensive experience within this field. Dr. Saeed Jahanmir is the President and CEO of Midi Heart Corporation and Vice President for Biotechnology at Mohawk Innovative Technology, Inc., or MIDI. Dr. Jahanmir received his master's and doctoral degrees in mechanical engineering from the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. He has been very active in many technical and professional societies. He is a fellow at the American Society of Mechanical Engineers, or ASME, and is currently serving as the ASME governor. He was also elected fellow and honorary member of the Society of Tribologists and Lubrication Engineers. The two societies, ASME and STLE, host the International Joint Tribology Conference, held annually in October. Dr. Jahanmir has worked on the development of a new generation of implanted blood pumps for patients with congestive heart failure. He is currently in the preclinical testing stages. Today, we will get an inside look into his research and examine the field of heart tribology. So, Saeed, welcome to the STLE Compass.
Thank you, Kara. It's my pleasure.
Yes, we're very glad to have you. Of course. So, Saeed, can you describe how you view the field of tribology or biotribology as a whole, just the various components and subfields?
Well, it's a very broad field. And basically, anywhere in the body where there is a contact and motion occurs in that location, and all medical devices that have moving, contacting parts and also require lubrication. And this makes it really a very broad area. Mm-hmm. I can give you some examples. For example, articulating joints, hip and knee joints, and other smaller joints in the body. Artificial limbs require attention to tribology because of the lubrication and wear requirement. Another example is cardiovascular repair, for example, related to the heart and devices used for the heart and also blood vessels. And then another broad example is teeth. For example, dental restoration, artificial teeth, and so forth. And, of course, the other examples such as contact lenses, skin friction, which is important in the field of cosmetics and so forth. So it's really a very, very broad field.
That definitely sounds like it. So what specifically do heart tribologists focus on? Obviously the heart, but what are the various components that make that up, or what do you study?
Well, basically in that area, when you're dealing with blood pumps and artificial hearts, these devices have many moving components. They have bearings and they have seals. And, of course, as you know, tribologists work on bearings and seals and lubrication of such components.
Mm-hmm.
The other area is mechanical heart valves. And mechanical heart valves, they basically close and open, and they have moving components, and so wear and contact fatigue, which are tribological issues, are very important issues there. And then the third example is angioplasty, which is done to, for example, put stent in the coronary arteries, and in that area, a long catheter is inserted into the arteries. And the friction of the components that are inserted inside that catheter is a very important issue, and it's a tribological problem.
Sure. So can you give us an overview of your research and what you're currently working on?
Yeah, we've been developing a blood pump, And this has been actually under development for several years. And it has been funded primarily by NIH. And the component of NIH, which is the National Heart and Lung and Blood Institute. We have designed, fabricated, and tested three generations of prototypes so far. And just to give you more specific information, our device is called an LVAD, L-V-A-D. And that stands for Left Ventricular Assist Device. And basically, it's a device, it's a pump, that is connected to the left ventricle and draws blood from left ventricle and sends it to the heart, to the aorta. It's basically a booster pump. And, you know, I always say when I give a talk to mechanical engineers or tribologists that design of mechanical pump is a very simple issue for mechanical engineers. But designing of a blood pump is very complicated, because of a couple of issues. One is blood damage, and blood damage is basically, it's called thrombosis, which is damage to the red blood cells due to the high shear. So if the shear stress is very high anywhere in the pump, the blood cells get damaged, and that's irreversible. And then there's also the issue of formation of blood clots, and this is called coagulation due to shear. And there's also a problem of hemocompatibility, because blood doesn't like any foreign material. And of course, another issue is infections. Anytime you put a foreign object in a body, there is a risk of infection. One of the troubling areas in these devices is the mechanical bearing, because there are moving components, and these are supported. And they either have point contacts, like jewel bearings, or they are hydrodynamic bearings that are lubricated by blood. And as you can imagine, there's a very high shear in the bearing as the blood, acting as a lubricant, goes through the bearing, and that can cause severe blood damage.
Sure.
So what we have done is use a magnetic levitation bearing to eliminate this problem, and that's basically the important aspect of our pump.
Okay. Well, clearly this is important research to do. So what kind of outcome or impact will your research have?
Well, the reason for these blood pumps, which are, I don't think I mentioned that, these blood pumps are implanted in the body. And the reason that these blood pumps are needed is for patients with congestive heart disease. Recent data shows that in U.S. alone, 4.5 million Americans have congestive heart disease.
Wow.
And, you know, it's a very large number.
It is.
And these, from these 4.5 million, about 100,000 per year are considered to have what's called as end-stage heart failure. And that means they really need some intervention, they need some treatment. And 40,000, they require heart transplant. But unfortunately, as you may know, that only about 2,200 hearts are available a year. So we're dealing with a very, very large number of patients that require intervention. And of course, there are medical treatments, medication, but medication only, unfortunately, gives a 25% success rate. But then the implantable blood pumps, such as the LVADs that we are working on, improve the outcome to nearly about 60%. So it more than doubles the chance of survival. Now, in some cases, it has been observed that complete recovery of the native heart takes place, and then the blood pump is removed after 6 months. And so basically, the importance of these devices is that it can save the life of about 100,000 patients every year in the U.S. alone.
Wow.
And the numbers are not available for the entire world, but I would estimate that you're dealing with about helping about 500,000 people a year.
That's a significant number of people. So that certainly does have a large impact. So what In your research, what stage are you at as far as, I know you mentioned you are working on it right now.
Well, the stage we're at is in preclinical testing. We have subjected our pump to a large number of testing on the bench to make sure that it delivers the required flow rate and it has the right pressure. And also, of course, one has to worry about durability. One has to worry about blood damage, as I said. That needs to be tested to make sure that the pump does not cause blood damage. And we have done a lot of testing in this area, and all of these are called preclinical testing, which also includes testing of the pump in animals. And we use animal models that we use is a calf, a young calf. And we have had a total of about 2,000 hours of testing in vivo with our pump. And we need to continue that to gather sufficient data so that we can get the pump approved through the regulatory process.
What brought you to this point in your research that you're involved in heart tribology? How did you get to that point?
Well, basically, it's actually very interesting. Our company had developed a pump, a small pump, several years ago, which was going to be used for pumping liquid oxygen. And after that pump was developed, then we felt that the same requirements are needed for pumping blood. So we approach NIH and ask for funding so that we can demonstrate that this pump can be used as a blood pump. And then from then on, NIH has been very good to us, supporting our research and development.
It's kind of an indirect way, but it's very good that, you know, you're in development of this LVAD. So that's a very good stage. What would you consider, going back to heart tribology, what would you consider to be the most important issues facing this field?
Well, some of the important issues deals with the design of low-friction and wear-resistant heart valves, reliable blood pumps, so they will not have wear and they will not have they will not introduce damage to the blood.
Mm-hmm.
Most older heart valves and the blood pumps fail due to the wear of the contact movements, and that's a tribological issue that limits their life. And you need to design for smooth blood flow in the pumps, so the shear rates are always within a certain narrow range so it will not cause blood damage. You need to use hemocompatible materials such as diamond-like carbon or DLC. And that's a very interesting point. Diamond-like carbon or DLC is a material or coating that has been used by tribologists for many years as a low friction and wear resistant coating. But it turns out it's also one of the best hemocompatible materials.
Hmm. That's interesting. How did you, is that just through testing that you find that out?
Well, I don't want to take a credit for that. This has already been established in the literature.
Oh, no, I mean, as far as how did they find out that was one of the best materials?
Yeah, basically testing and also thinking about the structure of the surface of DLC and whether blood cells or platelets can attach themselves, and they found out that it's a very, very good surface from that point of view.
Hmm. Okay, great. So in the field, have there been any major developments that you know of, and could you give us a little detail on that?
Sure. And I guess I can start out with a little history of development in this area.
Oh, sure.
Some of the older blood pumps that are used are extracorporeal. That means they're used outside the body. And these are used basically for several hours as a temporary treatment until the heart transplant is identified, until the physician can figure out what is the best strategy for the patient. Now, implantable blood pumps, which came later, can be used for several months or longer. And it also gives the patient more freedom of movement. For example, with the external pumps, the patient cannot really get off the bed. But with the implanted pump, the patient can walk around. And with some of the newer models, the patient has more freedom and better quality of life. Now, there are two types of pumps. One can think of pulsatile pumps. These are implantable pulsatile pumps that mimics the pulsatility of the heart. And then the other type, which are newer, are continuous flow pumps. And these are much simpler in design, with less complexity, which means higher reliability. The newer generation of blood pumps use magnetic bearings. Now, as you can imagine, as I already described, the magnetic bearings, basically there's no contact between the moving components. And this gives a longer life for the blood pump. And the reason these have been developed is that the surgical community has asked for pumps that can last for a minimum of 5 years. And this treatment is called destination therapy, long-term implantation. And this has become possible with the use of new biocompatible materials, new battery technologies. And what I see as future is that we're going to have smaller pumps, we're going to have more efficient batteries, which gives patients better quality of life and more freedom of motion. And the trend is, and what the surgical community likes to have, someday the pumps will be so small that they can be inserted with minimally invasive surgery. So it would not require a complete open heart surgery.
Wow, yeah. I think I would much prefer that kind of surgery as opposed to major heart surgery. So,
I hope you never need that.
I hope so too, knock on wood. but okay, so just considering all of this, what would you say are the conclusions that listeners should take away from today's discussion? What's the future look like?
Well, another area within this blood pump technology that that is being actually actively researched on is the use of physiologic sensors. And what that means is that the present pumps, the continuous pumps, operate at one speed to deliver 5 liters per minute against a pressure of about 100 millimeters of mercury. Now, when a patient wants to walk or run, the body requires more blood, a higher flow. And when the patient is sleeping, the body requires less blood. So there is an active research area to have sensors, or even without sensors, to be able to detect what the body needs and then automatically adjust the flow rate. And that's a new technology that is being developed. The second area is for completely implantable system. Currently, the battery and the controller, they're small ones, and they are outside the body, and a patient wears a vest where the battery and controller is in the pockets. But in future, I can envision that there will be systems that the battery, the rechargeable batteries, the controllers, are all implanted in the body, so there are no wires attached to the person, and the person has complete freedom of motion. And you know, as everyone knows, that our population is aging, and unfortunately, that means that the number of patients that need heart pump is going to grow due to this aging population. So we do need to have better functioning pumps. We need to have smaller and more efficient pumps and better battery technologies and so forth. You know, pundits predict that we are entering the era of bionics. Basically, there's a lot of reports that says most people in the future, if not everyone, will depend on some kind of an artificial device. And in order to design these artificial devices, we need to have a complete multidisciplinary R&D collaboration between university, government, industry. We need collaboration between engineers, physicists, tribologists, chemists, surgeons, and so forth. And this is really happening. This is how medical devices are developed, and we're going to see a lot more than that.
That's great, now, and I know that specifically tribology is certainly interdisciplinary and involves that, so it's good that that's being applied to this specific field, too.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, you ask about takeaway. I would say that the most important takeaway that I would like to have our listeners remember is that take care of your heart, so you would not need one of these devices in future.
Well, that's definitely good advice to take away, and I certainly will. So I want to thank you so much for joining us today and for your insight, Doctor.
I'm Carol Lamar. For more news and information on biotribology or the International Joint Tribology Conference, you can visit our website at www.stle.org. Thank you for joining us today. This has been another episode of the STLE Compass, pointing you in the right direction.